It's a deadly epidemic which has so far killed more than 1,500 people, most of them in deprived areas of West Africa. The Ebola virus is spreading fast. The World Health Organization today warned that it could claim more than 20,000 lives. Medical teams are struggling to contain the virus. Jeremy Kernindyke runs Foreign Disaster Assistance for USAID, and he's currently in Liberia. He said he was surprised by the scale of the outbreak.
It was certainly more grim than we had realized. We are, at this point, farther behind than we had appreciated. We knew it was bad. We knew it was very bad. After having been on the ground here and having consulted extensively with the people in the government and the NGO and the UN sector who are leading the response, we now have a much fuller appreciation of the full scope of what lies ahead of us.
It's a horrifying prospect, but there are glimmers of hope. Two US health workers seem to have been successfully treated in America by a drug produced by the California company MAP. And now a vaccine against Ebola has been fast-tracked for human trials within the next few weeks. The British drug firm GlaxoSmithKline is helping to develop it. Dr. Alan Pamba is the company's vice president for government affairs in Africa. And I asked him how important it was to develop a vaccine fast.
There's about 1,400 people who've died from Ebola already. The WHO has already declared this a public health challenge of international concern. And we have to move very quickly. With international travel as it is today, who knows how many people in the part of the world where we are already exposed to this virus, just waiting for the incubation period to run out and then they get symptoms.
So presumably the trials will focus on the countries that have been affected, will they, and will take place among healthy people within African countries, is that right?
Initial trials will be happening on healthy volunteers, so people who have not been exposed to Ebola. So we will recruit people both in the US and in the UK, and also in two countries in Africa, so the Gambia and Mali, to make sure that we have data that is spread across the spectrum.
Why the US and the UK if this is a disease which is affecting Africa?
So there's a couple of reasons for that, including things like ease of conducting these trials. So there are centres that are straight away ready to go in the US and the UK, which can give us useful data very, very quickly. Even as we get the centres in the Gambia and in Mali ready to also give us more data. Reason for going for Gambia and Mali, which, mind you, are not the most severely affected countries, are because the affected countries are already quite stretched in terms of dealing with the epidemic. So we wouldn't want to put an extra burden again at this early stage in those countries.
And obviously trials like these cost money, don't they? I understand that medical charities and government agencies are putting up the money for this. I suppose some people might say Glaxo really ought to be funding all of this, given that potentially it might make some money out of it at the end of the day if it's a big seller, as I guess it probably would be if it works.
I think if you look at diseases such as Ebola, which are diseases primarily emanating from the developing world, there's lots of challenges there. And when you look at developing solutions for challenges in that environment, often a partnership approach is what is more sustainable.
But in terms of cash, I mean, Glaxo is a rich company. Could it not have funded everything itself?
I suppose we could. The challenge is Ebola is not the last such disease that we see. There will always be more that come in. And I think if you take a company like Glaxo and put it to funding diseases like this entirely all the time, that will not be long-term sustainable.
Because a lot of people will say, look, Ebola is not a new virus. I think it was isolated in the mid-1970s initially. Why has it taken 40 years and arguably the deaths of, I think now it's more than 1,500 people in this latest outbreak, why has it taken that kind of horrible event for trials like these to be fast-tracked?
I completely agree with your perspective. The challenge is that if you look at the epidemics that we've seen in the past years, they've been sporadic, they've been small, and they've been quickly contained. And so the public health challenge of this disease has not been fully appreciated until now, when travel across Africa has become so sophisticated that it very quickly becomes a public health challenge of global, of international concern.
I suppose the truth is that for the big drug companies to get involved in something like this, it needs to be a large enough emergency, in crude terms, a big enough killer, to make it worthwhile investing in something to address it.
Well, that is partly fair. The way we look at it is that it's a global health emergency. Whether it's small or big, we need to put in our contribution. And our contribution is often expertise in either drug development or vaccine development. And then we work with partners to understand what's the best funding mechanism to allow us to be able to deliver this innovation, be it a drug or a vaccine, as expeditiously as possible and as sustainably as possible.
Do you think we're going to get on top of Ebola? Do you think it's something that we can bring under control quickly enough to stop more people dying?
I believe we can. I believe we can. I believe we have the technology to do it. I believe we have the resources in this world to do it. And I'm beginning to believe we have the political will now to make it happen.
That was GlaxoSmithKline's Dr. Alan Pamba on the search for a vaccine against Ebola.
For more interviews and analysis of global business, search for BBC World Business Report for our daily half-hour podcast.